an absolute legend. Yeah, so excited for him to share. He's been walking with the Lord for many years.
And it's his birthday
on Wednesday. Yes, 40 years old, eh?
49. I'm still very loud, guys. I don't want to shout.
It's not
loud. Am I right?
It's actually soft.
Can you hear me at the back? Wendy? You can't hear? Yeah, clock, I'm on. You know what that means in Xhosa? Yeah, clock. Means you're fibbing. Yeah. Okay, let's just pray. Father, thank you so much that we can be together. And as we look into your word, we just ask, Lord, that you will you'll give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that at the end of it we'll know you better and we'll understand a little bit more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Andrew's doing this amazing series, Escaping Babylon. Have any of you not watched it yet? Don't put up your... All right. I want to encourage you to watch it because it is really very good. It's quite sobering, and I think today's one will be even more sobering. And it just hits the reality of where we are at in our world and where the Babylonian spirit has begun to take root. I think it's been happening for a long time, but it's beginning to emerge, it's beginning to show. And if we are going to stand in these days, we desperately need God to help us, because I don't think it's a new thing if I say persecution is coming. Persecution is in the church. I mean, people in different parts of the world are persecuted all the time. But we in the Western world don't actually know what persecution genuinely is, serious persecution. I mean, we gather in school halls and we pray and we evangelize and we do our thing and we enjoy Jesus and we talk to people and But that's banned in many countries. And they're trying to pass a law, which we will speak about a bit more in the next weeks, where they want to restrict what churches actually do and what we actually preach. So it's on our doorstep. So we actually need help. And the help we get is by the Spirit. Okay, we've got to know the word. But the Bible says, Paul says, prays for the Ephesian church. He says, I pray that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will know him better. We cannot know God by our intellect. I'm a very clever guy. I've got a very high IQ. I'm kidding. I could see some people's eyes. What? But you can have the highest IQ or the lowest IQ. You can't know God by IQ. You know God by revelation, by the Spirit, and he enables you to understand. When we got saved, when you got saved, when you first became a Christian, you didn't fully understand what had happened to you, because it's a supernatural experience. But as you grow in the things of God, you begin to understand what actually happened to you on the inside. Is that true? Okay, I'm with you, and you're with me. So what I want to speak about this morning is help you understand that Jesus was a man, just like you and me. And girls, he wasn't a girl, but he was a man. He was a human being. And he walked the planet and did amazing things as a man. So if you put up Philippians 2 for me, please, James. Thank you. 6 to 11. It says, okay, that's a good enough translation. NIV. You can't give me that. I'm sorry. Let me. Can you change it? Still, yeah. I love technology. Don't you? That's why I write things down. Because then the battery goes flat and then you can't find it and then it's this. I'll Google it. Okay. Who, listen to this now. Who, being in very nature God, talking about Jesus, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Now we've got to understand that Jesus had the nature of God. He took on the very nature of God, because he's God. Jesus is God. Who is God? Jesus. What's Jesus' name? God. He is God. He's not the Son in the sense of he's a little bit less than God. He is God. Jesus is God. He came to the planet as God. He is the Son of God, but he's also God. He's the Son of Man, the Bible tells us, but he's also God. He is fully God and fully man. He is, I like these words, omniscient. You like that? Theological friends amongst us, some of us can't even spell that word. Omniscient. He knows everything. Jesus knows everything because he's God. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Some of you might not be old enough. There used to be a comedy thing on radio in the early morning when we were all driving to work in town called Chicken Man. You remember Chicken Man? Anybody? Chicken Man. And the guy used to say, he's everywhere, he's everywhere. And if you used to sit in the traffic and you'd look through the cars and you could see who was listening to the radio, and Chicken Man was on, because it was a joke. And everybody's laughing at Chicken Man. But God's not Chicken Man, but he is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. God can do anything when he likes, how he likes, to who he likes, and he's still God, and he's still a just God. Jesus comes to the planet. Go back, let's just look at Isaiah 9 verse 6. It says this, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Now that, the child being born tells us of Jesus' humanity. He was born of a woman. He was a little baby. He had to grow up like any of us have to grow up, like your kids grow up. He was a human being. He became a human being. But to us a son is given. God gave us his son. The Son of God. So his humanity is that he was born as a child. And his divinity is that he was given as a son. You still with me? Hello? Okay. When Jesus took on human form, he restricted the use of his divine attributes that were actually his. He restricted the use of his divinity. He chose to do that. He could have used them if he wanted to, but he chose not to, because he came as a man to walk amongst us and prove to us that we can also walk like he walked. Because if he had done it as God, we have no chance. But if he does it as a man, you and I have something of a chance. He chose not to. Matthew 26, 53, you remember the story when they came to arrest Jesus? And Matthew tells us that Peter was very uptight about it and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. You know that? Malchus. I think Peter wanted to hit him there, but missed. I think he wanted to split him, mal and cus, you know, on one side. I think that's what Peter wanted to do. He's that kind of nature. But he cut off his ear, and Jesus says, no, 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 none of that, none of that, none of that. Puts the guy's ear back on and heals him. Now, for me, if I'm coming to arrest somebody, and Somebody cuts off the ear of somebody coming to arrest this guy, and this guy picks up his ear and puts it back on. I'm immediately on this guy's side. I'm not his enemy anymore. Surely to goodness. And this is what he says. Do you not think that I can call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Peter, don't do that. I have to go through this. As a man, I have to live this life as a man. I could call, but I choose not to. He got hungry. Jesus said, I'm hungry. You remember when the disciples were fishing and he appeared to them on the shore, and that was the first stook dry in the whole world. It was in the Bible. Because there was fish. And he said, bring and let's eat. He got hungry. He got thirsty. On the cross he said, I thirst. Proving his humanity. He got tired. Jesus rested. John chapter 4 verse 6, it says that he rested at this well. And who did he meet at the well? The famous lady who he spoke to. He could only be in one place at one time, because he was in human form. He was not omnipresent. He could only be in one place at one time. He grew in wisdom. The Bible says in Luke 2:52, it says, he grew in wisdom and in favor with God and with man, which proves that there was a growth experience of Jesus. He knew everything as God, but as a man, he had to learn. Remember at 12 years old, when his mom and dad, imagine, we did it once. We had 4 kids, and we left church one day and got home and found we only had 3. So we had to rush back to where we had the meeting, and there she was standing on the pavement saying, whatever. So we had to take roll call. But Jesus' parents moved off from Jerusalem in what they called the caravan, all the camels and the things. And after 2 days, his mom said, where is he? It's funny, I haven't seen him around. He's playing with his mates. He wasn't there. 2 days. Today, they've been locked away for child abuse. How dare you leave your child for 12 years? I'll go back, find him in the temple, preach, teach him. He grew. He did not know when he was going to return. He knows now. But he didn't know when he was going to return, because he said, no one knows the time or the date. So if you buy books that say he's coming back, don't buy them. Only the Father knows. And Jesus said, and he hasn't told me. He was a man. He waited for the power of the Lord to be present in order to heal people, Luke 5:17. So he didn't just go and do things, he waited for the power of the Lord to be present. He was limited by the unbelief of people when he wanted to heal. It says in that place, he said, he only healed a few because there was big unbelief in the place. So Jesus was limited. Because he was a man. So he put limitations on himself while on earth. But he did have power. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He changed people's understanding. He had a power. Do you, as a Christian person, have a right standing now, today, with the Father? Loaded question. Do you? Of course we do. Because if I've accepted what Jesus did for me, the Bible says that I'm one with him and I'm accepted in the beloved. So I have a right standing before the Father because of what Jesus accomplished, not because of what I've done.
Amen.
Thank you, James. So Jesus had a perfect relationship with his Father. He had a right standing with his Father. But he laid aside his divinity, the power that was his through divine unction. And yet he still lived this perfect life. As I said a couple of weeks ago, he never sinned. I mean, he never asked anybody to pray for him. He asked people to pray for others, but he never asked people to pray for him. When he was going through the worst of times, he didn't ask people to pray for him. The Bible says he knew what was in people's hearts. He went to 3 funerals. Non-events. Imagine. Go to a funeral. Rah, rah, says, don't worry, he's only sleeping. No, only sleeping. Little girl, will you get up? Everybody believes that. They're carrying the son, this woman's only son, and they call it a bear. B-I-E-R, by the way. And Jesus went, said, don't worry. And he raised him from the dead. And then Uncle Lazarus. 4 days. He did all that. How did he do that if he was a man? Just a man. Well, I'll tell you how. It was prophesied about him. It was told us at his birth. It was told us at his baptism. It is told us when he was tempted that he needed the power of the Holy Spirit in order to function on this planet. And I have a right standing with the Father, so do you. We need the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit in order for us to function like God wants us to function. Can you say amen? So his dependence on the Spirit was prophesied by Isaiah. Isaiah was 700 years before Jesus. That, brothers and sisters, is a prophecy. That, now that, like, serious. Not, yea, thus saith the Lord, yea. Like, Abraham led the people out of Egypt, and thus we came to the river. I beg your pardon, God made a mistake. It wasn't Abraham, it was Moses. You know those kinds of prophecies? Now this is a prophecy. Isaiah 11, 1 to 5. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Who's Jesse? David's old topic. If you go to the book of Ruth, you'll see that Ruth gave birth to David's granddad. Boaz and Ruth. Ruth gave birth to David's granddad. Now he says here that a shoot will come from the stump. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. So now this is the picture. This tree's been cut down. Have you seen them being cut down? And suddenly a little branch begins to grow. Israel had been devastated. But suddenly there's this little branch begins to grow. Isaiah prophesies out of the stump of Jesse, out of Jesse's genealogy, out of that will come one who will do the following. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. That's prophesying on one that is still to come. In Isaiah 42, 1 to 4. He is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my Spirit on him. And he will bring justice to the nations. We could read the rest. Understanding, he's prophesying about one to come. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me. Now, Isaiah's in the singular now. He's talking about, like Jesus is actually talking. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all the world. When we think of the work of the Spirit, that's part of it. It's not just, I'm going to go into the mall and find every cripple and get him out of a wheelchair or try, or I'm going to find some deaf guy, or I'm going to, no. He's going to this, he's going to bind up the brokenhearted. He's going to bind up the brokenhearted. There's so many brokenhearted people, to proclaim freedom for the captives. Captives in what? Captive to sin. Captive to the things of the world. He's going to free them. He's going to free them to and release from darkness for the prisoners. You know that sometimes they say you cage a bird for so long that even if you open the door afterwards, it's so used to being caged, it doesn't want to fly. because it's forgotten what it was actually created for. And sometimes we are in prisons where the doors are actually opened. God has opened them, but we're so bound by what was in our lives. We don't enter the freedom. What Nicholas shared this morning about entering the gates, about the sheep. Sheep. I like that God calls us sheep. I don't like that God calls us sheep. Sheep are thicker. Sheep are dumb. Sheep smell. Sheep are dirty. Sheep are stupid. If one sheep goes through a fence, they all go. Tell me I know. I'm a farmer's son. I know. If there's a hole in the fence, the sheep will find it. And they'll all go. Why? No, because he went. The herd mentality. Before they get shorn, you put your hand in that wool and you go, oh, sweet. Then you smell it. I do. It's not. It's oily and horrible. And then the Bible says, we all like sheep. And we say, yeah, we like sheep. It's not a very good picture of something, to be honest. It's gone. All right. So Isaiah prophesies this is going to happen. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. This dependence was confirmed by the angel Gabriel. Gabriel visits a young Jewish girl and he says to her, you are going to be with child. You're going to have a baby. And she says, how can this be? I've not been with a man. And he says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you and you will be. Where's it? I can't quote it all, and I'm greetings. Yeah, carry on. She was troubled and wondered, kind of granted greeting. The angel said to her, do not be afraid. You will be with child, give birth to a son. And you've got to give him the name Jesus. Was Jesus a popular name that time?
Yes.
Yeah. It's actually a variant of Joshua, which means, not you, Nikki. Thank you. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Since I'm a virgin. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, put yourself in Mary's shoes. You've got to read the Bible like that. Who's been visited by an angel before and spoken to by an angel? I've been in meetings where God say, oh, we saw angels, and he's talking like, and I'm thinking, no, child, if you saw an angel, you'd be on your face. Because they're not little fellas that just bring nice little sweet messages. These are sent directly from the presence of God. I bumped into someone else the other day, and young guy, and he said, so are you, one of the lead elders said, so are you still kind of single? And I said, hey, listen, God's got to send Gabriel or Michael to say, you shall marry her. Otherwise it's, oh, he said, okay. That's how Mary was. How is it ever going to happen? From his conception, he needed the anointing, the power, the understanding, the presence of the Holy Spirit in order for him to come forth. Thirdly, at his baptism, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came on him and remained on him and equipped him for his ministry. Matthew. Isn't Matthew before Mark? Yeah, doesn't it? As soon as Jesus was baptized, sorry, Jesus. He went up out the water, and at that moment heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And Mark, I love this one. At that time Jesus came, blah, blah, blah. As soon as Jesus was coming out of the water, listen to this, he saw heaven being torn open. So eager was the Holy Spirit to be released, as it were, from heaven to earth. He'd visited on a few occasions. He'd visited certain people, because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on certain people at certain times for certain things. Am I still with it? Nikki, you happy?
Sorry,
you know? Okay. I'm talking to my my theological friends here, you know. But he didn't come to stay. But Mark says he saw heaven being torn open. There was an eagerness. That's how eager he is to come to us, to help us. And then it says in John, I love this, John. I saw the Spirit come down. John gave this testimony. John the Baptist. His name's John, but we call him the Baptist. There are lots of Baptists, but they're not all called John. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain. Now, this is very pertinent. I would not have known him. John says, I wouldn't have known that this was Jesus, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So for the first time in history, here comes the Holy Spirit out of heaven in the form of a dove. It wasn't a dove. I saw this. And he came and he remained. Jesus desperately needed the power of the Spirit in order to function and fulfill the purpose for which God sent him. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Now, what do we believe? We believe this, that he came and he was a sacrifice for my sin and your sin. He could never have done it if he didn't have the power, the unction, the function, the gumption of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what that word means. It just sounds nice. But he had to have more than his human understanding. There had to be, otherwise he would have never done it. Because when they came to arrest him and Peter cut off that guy's ear, if Jesus was doubting anything at that point, he would have said, Peter, good man, let's just sort them all out because I can't go through with this. Because he's a human being. I want to try and escape. You remember he said, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. If it's possible, but not my will, but yours. Meaning, I want to go through it, but I have to be helped. I have to have help. He needed to be full of the Holy Spirit. I've done those. He needed to be full of the Holy Spirit in order to withstand the temptations. The devil did. It says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, that's where he'd been baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the desert. Thanks a lot. Lord, you're actually going to lead me into a desert? Yeah. Why? Because I want you to learn some things. You see, we think that when the Spirit comes, it's just roses and the smell and the perfume and all that. No. Roses get crushed in order to get the perfume. And roses have got thorns on, as I found out when I was a little chap. The Holy Spirit comes to assist us in every single area of our lives. So Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, from Galilee, Jammo, that's the word, Jammo, was led by the Spirit into the desert. And we know how Jesus overcame. What did he say to the devil? Every time the devil spoke to him, he said, no, it's written. So it wasn't yet written. The New Testament wasn't written. Jesus knew the word, the Old Covenant. It is written. Here is the living word, who is Jesus, on the planet, and he's quoting, as it were, himself. It is written. I have written that. You are not. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. It says this, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. As was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. Now this is very important. And the scroll of the prophet was given to him. Now, they didn't have Bibles like we Bibles, they had a scroll. Now look at this. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, which is quoting Isaiah 61. Today. Now you imagine being in the synagogue and this guy who's caused untold grief to the religious community because he's lived this life and people are beginning to follow him and they're seeing things, and he says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What arrogance. Who do you think you are? You've got to understand, that's how they would have thought. Today the scripture is fulfilled in you. Just go back. Where are we? Rolled up the scroll. So, and the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Get up. Sorry. And he began to say to him, today the scripture. Now what does that scripture say? Can you go back to Isaiah 61? Now it's interesting in Isaiah. If you read through that to proclaim the year, broken hearted, carry on. And to provide for those who grieve, rather. Let's go back again. Sorry. I just want to find a verse. Okay. If you read in Luke chapter 4, verse 2, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor is there. And this line is not there. The day of vengeance of our God. It's not written in Luke. Interesting. Now I'll tell you why. Because Jesus was going to own the day of vengeance on our behalf. God was going to release his vengeance on sin and degradation. All the things that man took on and just messed it up. Thanks Uncle Adam and Auntie Eve from way back, messing it up for us. Jesus took it on himself. That he didn't quote that. The day of vengeance of our God, because Jesus took it on himself. Now, could he do that in his own natural self? He had to have heaven help him by way of the Holy Spirit. He had to. That's why we need him. That's why we need him. And he's not here for us to kind of switch on and switch off. You know? Oh, Holy Spirit, you better help me now. No, it's a walk. How long have you been married? I like that. How long have you been married? She looks at her husband and asks. Women usually know. 2 years, 4 days, 3 hours, and 26 minutes. And you ask him, and he goes, probably about 2 years. And have you got to know each other in this time? You know a little bit more about him now. You thought you knew. Yeah. And you thought you knew her. It's not very positive. You don't know. You still don't know. But what I'm saying is, you got acquainted, and now you're getting to know each other. It's a lifetime. You don't just suddenly switch on the camera and go to school. I'm not going to know you. No, it doesn't work like that. You've got to develop a relationship with him. Yeah. He wants to help you, but you've got to learn. We had a testimony, we had a lead oldest thing on Wednesday, Lucas. Marcus, is that his name? From Sunningdale? He gave a testimony. I was jealous. But no, I want more. He walked into a mall somewhere, they're going to go and get pizzas. And he heard a piano play. And he felt the Holy Spirit, God, say to him, go and speak to the piano player. Now, it wasn't Elton John, it was another guy. So he walked up to him and said, hi, how's it? And they chatted, and so he said, the guy's name's Sam. And then he said, God said, he bought pizzas, invite Sam to come and eat pizzas with you. And he said, I don't know if that's a good idea, Lord. And God said, it's a very good idea. So he said to Sam, look, we've just bought pizzas. Why don't you come to my house and eat pizzas with us? It was one of their kids' birthdays, I think. So Sam came and ate pizzas. Then he discovered Sam's a Christian. And Sam's looking for a home to be attached as part of the family. So Sam left, and then they had something or other at the house again, and Sam was there. And the guys that come to clean the pool arrive, and Sam says, hey, how's it? And the guys that are standing in the pool say, hey, Sam, how's it? And suddenly, just because God told him to go and say hello to the piano player, he's now got, I think, 6 extra people in his congregation. Because he listened. And he did what God told him. Now, let's be honest. You go to the mall, explain the piano, talk to the piano player, how's it, Bruce? And now you're spoken to. How's it? I've said. Now we've got to learn. We've got to, what more, Lord, do you want me to say? And it's not every hour, every second of every day, but just we've got to cultivate this. Jesus functioned on the planet because he had the Holy Spirit in him. If you haven't been baptized in the Spirit, you need to be. And if you say this to me, I'm not sure whether I've been baptized in the Spirit or not, then you haven't been. Because if you've been baptized in water, you know. Because why? You got wet. Very wet. And if you get baptized in the Spirit, you know that God visited me in a special way that I can't describe. It's like eating candy floss. And you eat it and you say to someone, it's very nice. And they say, how nice? You say, try. Taste. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You can't explain that experience to people. What happened? I just don't know. Something happened. Well, I don't know how to explain it. And then Paul, let me ask you the question. Do we need the power of the Spirit? Is the Pope Catholic? Of course we need the power of the Spirit. Is a duck waterproof? Of course we need the power of the Spirit. Can a snake swim? Of course. We need him. Do we need to depend on him? So what? I missed. Google it. You'll see. That's when I was a little guy, I used to go to the snake park. And the guy would show us all the snakes, and then he'd take them all and throw them in the moat, and he'd say, all snakes can swim. They land and they could swim. Do we need to depend on him? Just like Badna is learning to depend on Steph, and Steph's learning to depend on Badna, we learn to depend on him. He has to depend on us. We depend on him. And when we depend on him, we learn of him. This is what Paul says to the Ephesian church in chapter 3. For this reason, what's the reason? James, you're suddenly looking in Ephesians now. What's the reason? He's talking about don't being discouraged because of his sufferings and all that stuff. He's saying, but for this reason, I kneel before the Father from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray. When I got baptized in the Spirit, I took the prayer in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 and I wrote it out as if I was speaking to me. So I said this, I pray that out of your glorious riches, you will strengthen me with power through your Spirit in my inner being, so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love, that I may be rooted and established in love, I may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high is the deep, how deep is this love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Listen, that I may be filled to the measure of fullness of God. How full is that? That's what Paul prays. I tell you, that's how full Jesus was. He overflowed all the time. When Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, I'm very conscious, I've gone way out of time, but you've been good, none of you sleeping yet. Okay, when he said to her, I'm going to put a well within you, a spring. The Christian life is not trying to make the spring work. Come on, spring, bubble up, bubble up. No, the Christian life actually is trying to keep this confounded thing in control because it just keeps bubbling up. That's the spiritual. That's the Christian life. That's the way of the Spirit.
Yes.
That's what Jesus wants for us. We need that in these days. Believe me. Believe me. How can I emphasize it more? Please just believe me. Believe. Two things. I don't know where you stand by way of your relationship with God. I don't know. All of us are at different places. I'm learning. I want more. I want to know more. There's so much more to know. So I've got to ask for that spirit of wisdom and revelation. Because without that, I won't learn anything. I'll get information, not the book. But I've got to get the information into my heart so that I can apply it, so that it begins to work for me. Maybe there's someone that hasn't said, well, Lord, I need to accept what you've done. I've heard, I've listened, but I'm at that place where I need to say, Lord, today. Today I'm going to commit my life to you because I acknowledge I need you to help me live this life. Or you might not be baptized in the Spirit. We want to pray for both those categories today. Amen. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Yeah, good. I see nods. It's terrible preaching to people with masks on. Because I don't know if you're scowling or smiling. Like saying, get on with it under your breath. I mean, under your mask. Finish up now. So let's just close our eyes. Let's just close our eyes. And if there's anybody, and while every eye's closed, we don't want to look around. Just if there's anybody who says to me this morning, look, I would love you to pray for me because I need to know Jesus. If you're in that category, then perhaps you just lift up your hand and show me and then we can chat afterwards. Is anybody like that? No one? Okay. Who hasn't been baptized in the Spirit, you need to just lift up a hand too. We're going to pray for you. One, two. Come on. Any others? Who hasn't been baptized in the Spirit? Okay, got you. All right, Father, thank you so much that you, your word says, you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. And it's found in your Son, who gave his life, and then who said, I'll not leave you as orphans, I'll send one just like me. Not to come and just be with you, but to live in you. And Lord, we want to ask you to help us be a people that follow hard after you. Set our sights, set our sails to catch the breath of your Spirit and to know what you are doing in these days is unique and it's challenging and we need you to help us. So we ask you, Lord, come and pour out on us afresh. Come and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. What's the difference between a flag and a sail? A flag and a sail. A flag catches the same breath the sail catches. But all the flag does is brag and flap. And the sail takes you somewhere. So if what you've hoisted is a flag, do me a favor. It down. Set up your sail. If you want to be prayed for, then just say, yeah, can just get some folk together, pray, just, I'm going to pray for two people for the baptism of the Spirit. How's that? Woohoo! and we'll ask God to bless them. So have a fantastic day. Well, I'm going to have a great day. I don't care about you. I'm happy. I've preached myself happy this morning. Hallelujah. And if you want prayer, just gather with some friends and do your thing. But God bless you and a fantastic day. I'm going to pray.